Well, hi, this is Dave Johnson, and I'm with Richard Brook, actually at the world headquarters of his office here in Coeur d'Alene, and looking out of the beautiful river and looking at all these books here. And you must be really some kind of person.
I must be really smart with all those books on my credenza.
That's right. And not to joke, but seriously, you are one of the pillars in the whole entire network marketing profession. Just thinking back on when you and I first met and getting to know you, you've accomplished a lot. I remember, I don't know the year, but you were on the cover of Success magazine, and I think that was significant because I think that's when Success actually changed, where they actually became a major proponent of network marketing, and I think that was the issue that that really changed a lot of paradigms in that. And I really appreciate a lot of your contribution also to just making this a better environment by working on the DSA and their ethics, and just being a senior member on that board. And so,
thank you, Dave.
You're a good guy, and you have a good influence. And also, I think what we'd like to do specifically today is to just to help you, the listener, raise your game and just get better. And why not? Jim Rohn, he talks about that. You know, why not, and why not you? Mm-hmm. If you get on YouTube and look that up, I recommend you watch that lots of times. But specifically, a lot of who I am in this business, we've done really well.
You have.
But
you're a legend.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, remember in Super MLM Man, I found people on the street, and the only network marketer in the world they knew was you.
Oh, golly.
That was funny.
We got a lot of work to do, in other words.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that I attribute so much of my success to is tools. So much of who I am is I've just been very generous in passing out tools. And a few years ago, I came across the book, The Four-Year Career, and I loved it. But for some reason, it just went all over my head as far as actually using this as a recruiting tool. And just a couple of months ago, I listened to an interview that you had with someone else using this and how it changed everything dramatically. And I'm thinking, you know, one of the best shortcuts you can ever do is learn from the experts. We don't have enough time to figure new pathways ourselves. And I just thought, you know, this is such a easy pathway to follow. And of course, in the business, everything we do is important, but especially what we do that can be duplicated. And I think one of the keys of being successful in the business is you want people to look at you and think, could I do what you're doing? Or would I even want to? And of course, you want to have a good personality so that they'll think, I'd like to do it with you. But the big thing on that is to make it look simple and easy. And I think probably the best tool is where the tool does as much as it does for you by itself. So it takes you out of being the game changer, where the tool becomes a game changer. Because there's a lot of really superhuman people out there that can do almost anything. But in network marketing, the key is to get a whole bunch of other people to do something. And so can you talk to us about how this book came about, and maybe also just tell your story? Because I think a lot of people maybe haven't heard your game. And I, you know, the Mach 2 with your hair on fire, you've got your story there. But if you could just kind of talk about your introduction and how you did some presentations and how this book came about, and just hear from you on some fundamental ideas here.
Okay, well, I found out today that you have 1 year on me. I joined the industry in 1977, and you joined in 1976. And in 1977, I worked in a chicken processing plant in Northern California called Foster Farms. And I'd been there 4 years, and I planned to be there for the next 36 years. I really loved it. Thought I was cutting it.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
I do.
And, you know, I had like a good career mapped out there. I really enjoyed the people, enjoyed the work. And you know, you make any money doing that, and you know, it's one of those things where you're just going to grind for 40 years, and then the people who retired, they basically hung out at the bar and went fishing and went hunting. And fortunately, I loved the work, so money wasn't that big of a deal to me. I wasn't thinking that much about money. But then a friend of mine, a guy I went to high school with, he asked me to take a look at an opportunity to make a lot of money, and he didn't have any credibility with me because he was a high school buddy, and so I blew him off and didn't pay any attention. And then about 3 weeks later, I went by his house, and he'd had his hair cut, and instead of being in cutoffs and a t-shirt, he was in a three-piece suit, and he was celebrating his first bonus check for being in his business for 3 weeks, and it was $1,374.34. And this is 1977. I worked 60 hours a week and made $1,200. So that was a lot of money. And so he got my attention. I said, all right, show me, how do you do this? And he got out a yellow pad, imagine that, and he said, drew a circle, and he said, well, this is you, and you get five people to do this, and they just get five people, and they just get five people. And it didn't make any sense to me at all. I just didn't get it, not at all. But something resonated with me. That presentation, that conversation, and then I went to a meeting, and a guy came from out of town and guest spoke at the meeting, and he drove a Porsche Carrera to the meeting, and he talked about, you know, hey, where do you want to live? What do you want to do with your life? How much money do you want to make? How do you want to dress? What do you want to drive? Where do you want to travel? And I was 22 years old, and nobody had ever asked me those questions before. So I was intrigued. I got hooked. I got in. I went full time. I struggled mightily because I had a very introverted, angry personality. I was not a people person. I didn't like to initiate conversations. I didn't like to sell people. But then one of the magical things about network marketing happened for me. And the way I like to explain it to people is on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, we bring a certain amount of assets to the party. So maybe you have a lot of time, or maybe you have a lot of credibility, or maybe you have a lot of contacts, or maybe you have some money to help you get your business going, or maybe you're just really good at talking to people and nobody's a stranger. You know, these are all assets. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I was probably like a 2. And the number one asset I had is I had no quit in me. None. No quit.
That trumps everything.
Well, eventually, I guess, they say it does. You either end up a bloody mess or you succeed. And so I just kept failing forward, as they say. And I finally, a guy who was a customer called me up, and he wanted some more product. And he lived 3 hours away. And so I thought, well, if I drive 3 hours, instead of selling him a bottle, maybe he'll buy a case. So he'll just feel sorry for me. And if I time it right and I get there around lunch, maybe he'll buy me lunch. And if he buys me lunch, I'm sitting with him for an hour, maybe there'll be an opportunity to talk about the business. So that all worked beautifully, and I drove 3 hours, and it was through an ice storm in Iowa, and I got there at 11:30, and he said, hey, you want to have lunch? And we had lunch, and halfway through lunch, he said, is there any money in this? And I said, it'd blow your mind. And it would have blown his mind if he knew how much money I was making. I was driving a borrowed car. And so I showed him the circles, and Dave, I know you've had people say this to you. He looked at those circles, and he said to me in a way that I had never said, and nobody I'd ever sponsored said, he said, I can do that. And so that was on a Thursday, and Saturday was a big regional event about 6 hours away in Kansas City. So he said, what do I do? And I said, well, you have to be at this event with people. Those two words made my career, with people. I could have easily said, there's a big regional event, maybe you should go. I know it's a long ways, maybe you'll go next time, whatever. I didn't say any of those weak things. I said, you have to be there with people. And he showed up with two people. One of them got in, his cousin. And between the two of them, they made me $100,000 in the next year. And that was 1979, which would be the equivalent of making about 400 grand your first in 1 year in network marketing.
Words are very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a 90-minute presentation all about the things I thought and the things I said that day the day I sponsored Jerry Schaub that made my entire career. Because imagine, in today's dollars, you sponsor somebody, and 6 months later, you're earning 20 grand a month. Do you think you can sponsor some people with that kind of track record, with that kind of wind beneath your wings, with that kind of confidence? I sponsored three more people like him. And by the time I was 28, I had 30,000 active distributors in my group, and I was making $40,000 a month, which in today's dollars would be about 150 grand a month. And so, you know, I have had a storied network marketing career, a lot more failures than successes, but people don't, fortunately, they don't put your failures on the cover of magazines or do a lot of interviews about your failures. But it's all from that one day and all from a few choice words.
It's a good thing you didn't miss that day.
Yeah. Well, I was persistent enough, I hopefully would have created another one down the road, but...
Yeah, that's the powerful thing about this. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know who is going to make it. And one of the beautiful things about this business is you can be a two or three or four, but you get to sponsor eight, nines, and tens. Mm-hmm. And guess who you become if you sponsor a 10?
Who cares?
You're pretty
much, got some.
You're pretty much a 10 if you sponsor
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose you can try to drag them down, but I didn't. I jumped right up, promoted myself to a 10. So, you know, from then on, I went to run the company I was building in, and for the last 30 years, I've been helping other people in the industry and running my own network marketing company and teaching and speaking and training. And so 3.5 years ago, we started a new network marketing division in our company with all new people. It was just like a startup. So if you have a startup, you have a president. I was the president. We had a VP of marketing. And, you know, we had a couple people that we started with, but we didn't have any distributors. So when you're a startup company, somebody has to start recruiting. Well, I was the only one with really any experience, so that's a couple of us. So we started recruiting. So in the last 3.5 years, I've really been back on the street, back on the phone, you know, back talking to anybody, everybody and anybody that, you know, people that work for me, not in the business, but like, you know, guy that cuts your lawn or, you know, cleans your house or people you meet in an airport or where. So I've been back recruiting. And, you know, I have known this for quite a few years, but it just didn't hit me until I was actually recruiting myself that when it comes to our products and our company, leading with that in prospecting. So you're talking to somebody and you just, oh, let me tell you about my products. And you're talking to somebody, oh, let me tell you about my company and my opportunity. Even if you use a tool, which you should, you should be the messenger, not the message, and let the tool be the message. Even if you use a tool, well, tools that are about the product and the company land for prospects like advertising. It's a sales pitch, and they know it. So it doesn't have a lot of credibility. And so I've always looked for and used various different generic tools that talked about our profession. Because I know you could do this if you went to one of your conventions or one of your big regional events and, you know, you got 2,000 or 3,000 people in the audience. Try this on them. This will be fun. Just ask them, you know, how many of you absolutely, I mean, just to die for, love our products? And if there's 3,000 people in the room, how many hands do you think will go up?
Oh, 3,000 people.
Right. And then they'll get up and probably give you a big standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask them, you know, how many of you absolutely love our company and our leadership, how many hands would go up?
Oh, everyone.
Yeah, they'll probably just cheers and hooting and hollering. And if you ask them, how many of you have recruited three people in the last 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, how many hands would go up? Yeah. So why is that? Yeah, so I'm asking the question, why is that? If you love the company and you love the products, why wouldn't you be telling people about it in a passionate, powerful way? And the answer is because people don't believe in our business model. Even distributors don't believe in it. They believe in the product and they believe in the company, but they don't believe in the business model. They believe in it academically. So if we were to ask them all, you know, how many of you believe in network marketing? Oh, all their hands would go up. But it's not what you say, it's what you do. So we know they believe in the products because they use them. We know they believe in the company because they chose to be a distributor in that company. But they obviously don't believe in the business model, even though they say they do, because they're not telling people about it. They're not a peaceful warrior about the network marketing model.
They're secret agents.
Exactly. Scared to death secret agents. So, you know, there's been lots of renditions of this. The first book that I wrote around it was called Rags to Riches, and then I did a CD called The Business is Booming, and I've tried lots of different generic tools to pull this off. But then it occurred to me, but when it comes to a book, you know, a lot of people don't read anymore today, like books, but still, the paradigm of belief is that if something is in a book, like a textbook, it's true. It's factual. If you want to seek knowledge, knowledge is in books. Books are not advertising. Books are not hype. Books are not manipulative. Books are the salt of the earth. Books are the truth.
That's the perception.
It is, still. And, you know, maybe 10 years from now, that'll totally flip to the internet or blogs or whatever. But it's still in our being, in our DNA, that if something's in a book, textbook kind of book, it's true and you can trust it. So it occurred to me, how about if I write a book about network marketing? Now, it can't be a sales pitch. It has to actually be an educational book. And if it's an educational book, it has to address some of the dark side, some of the downsides, some of the history, some of the things that haven't worked. Because if you don't address that stuff, when somebody starts to read it, they won't believe it. You need to give them the whole picture so they believe what they're reading. And so I laid out some of the obvious myths about network marketing, some of the missteps, some of the bad reputation, how people think about what we do. And, you know, the cool thing about that is somebody's reading it, they go, oh, yeah, it's, you know, that's how I thought, yeah. So they identify and they relate. And then whatever else you have to say in the book must also be true, too. So I went out and I gathered every ounce of credibility I could find on the network marketing profession, including I wrapped into it a presentation that I've done since 1990 called The Four-Year Career, which is basically an analogy not to replace network marketing with a college career, but just to compare it to a college career, where for 4 years you don't make any money. You spend anywhere from $25,000 to $250,000 to end up, you know, a waiter or not working in your chosen educated path for most people.
I believe it's about 80% of the people that graduate never work in the field of their degree.
Yeah, and 20% of them are unemployed after all of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they spend all this money, and today it costs so much money to go to college that these kids end up with student debt that, you know, they're carrying around for 10 or 15 years. It's incredible. And I'm not saying college isn't an asset. I mean, it's a great thing. But I just asked the question, well, you know, for somebody like me, I didn't go to college. Did you go?
I've got an associate degree.
Oh, so you only went for 2 years. But for me, you know, I thought, wow, if somebody would have said, hey, invest the same amount of money, even 25 grand, in marketing and training and travel and recruiting and prospecting and everything, and actually work network marketing for 4 years, what would you graduate with? Instead of looking for a job, you'd graduate making 100, 200 grand a year. And then, you know what? You go do whatever you want to for the rest of your life.
And then go to school.
If you want, sure. So that's the four-year career. So I wrapped the four-year career into the book. I went out and got every quote from every famous person who'd ever said anything wonderful about network marketing, you know, all the way down to Warren Buffett, who, you know, that's just kind of the end-all, you know. His quote, dollar for dollar, the best investment Berkshire Hathaway has ever made, speaking about buying a network marketing company. I don't know that we need anybody else other than Warren Buffett saying it's the best investment he's ever made. And he said that. And so all of that, all the facts, all the business model, all the math about how does geometric progressions actually work, You know, one of the most pivotal things in the book is the distinction between direct sales and network marketing. And if you want to sell $1 million a month worth of product in direct sales, you're probably going to go find 100 superstars, and you're going to give them a territory, and most importantly, you're going to give them a quota. And that quota, if you want to sell $1 million a month, is $10,000 a month, 100 times 10,000. And what are you going to do with the people who don't meet the quota?
Let them go.
Yeah, that's actually called firing them. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hire more, and you're going to keep hiring and firing and hiring and firing, and you're never going to get 100 people that meet the quota, probably, but that's the process. Just keep churning till you get as close to it as possible. So network marketing just flips the numbers. It's 10,000 people who love the product, who want to make a little bit of money or a lot of money, and on average, maybe they sell $100 a month worth of product. It's $1 million in sales. That concept alone, when people understand it, what it does is it gives them in their mind permission to embrace the idea, okay, this is about distributing product. This is about selling product. You know, when you talk about recruiting, that sometimes you get the objection, well, if everybody's recruiting, who's going to sell the product? And I love that objection because it's kind of like who's buried in Grant's tomb. If somebody asks you who's buried in Grant's tomb, I just like to kind of sit with that and look at them. And what I'm sort of telepathically asking them is, well, if you got 10,000 people, who do you think's selling the product?
Everyone.
10,000 people.
Yeah.
And so if the objective is to sell $1 million a month, what difference does it make how you do it? But yet we have this stigma, this paradigm, that if it's all about recruiting, there's something wrong with it. And there isn't anything wrong with it. It's just a different way to sell $1 million a month worth of product. Mm-hmm. It's using customers as the people who are excited about the product and want to tell other people about it. And if you look at, you know, every Fortune 500 company today, they're all doing some sort of, you know, hey, tell three of your friends and yours is free, or, you know, they're all doing some sort of network marketing. They're just not paying out 10 levels yet. They probably will. So I boiled it all down into this book. For me, if a book is going to be useful, I have to be able to read it in one leg of a plane flight. I have to be able to read it in an hour. I don't read books that sit on my nightstand for weeks at a time and I read, you know, half a chapter a night. I'm a magazine article guy, you know. I'll read 100 articles a month, but, you know, maybe a book every 3 or 4 months. So a book has to be short and sweet and simple and funny and has to have pictures in it and graphics and graphs. And so I wrote this short book. You can read it in, you know, somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the most. And so I started using it. I wrote it as the recruiting, the lead recruiting piece. And not every time, you know, if I'm talking to you and you're saying, well, you know, I got aches and pains, and, you know, I'm not going to give you a book about network marketing. I am going to tell you about the products. But more often than not, what people are missing in their life that gives them the most pain is economic freedom.
Or lack of.
Yes. They don't have it.
Yeah.
And they're grinding at their job, or, you know, in today's economic society, you got kind of trying to put kids through college. And, you know, you didn't have any choice other than to be successful in network marketing. You have 11 children. That's $11 million you need right there. Just in lifetime of
Well, kind of imagine having at one time five teenagers or four kids in college at the same time or whatever. We've been there, done that. And
yeah, well, Kimmy and I were just going through our income and expense last month, and she's asking me, well, you know, what did we spend our money on? And I said, you know, there were two expenditures last month which basically took all of our extra money. We were actually very prudent in our spending, normal expenses, and we'd have had a nice little pile left over except for two checks that we wrote, big checks. We only have one child. I'm the, like, new dad. It's her child, but so that's just one. Took all of our extra money for a couple of things that, you know, things that you need to do because you got children. So, you know, I just found that most conversations can easily lead to, if you show me how to make some extra money, it's not about getting rich or making $25,000 a month. You know, most bankruptcies in this country would be avoided if people could make an extra $300 or $400 or $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
$300 or $400 or $500 a month would get their credit cards paid off eventually, that get the car paid off, send the kid to college. And of course, once you learn how to make $500 a month in this, then you really know how to make $5,000 if you want.
Just more of the same, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I just kind of developed this concept of talking to people and asking them to read the book. And, you know, a lot of times I don't use the word read. I'll use the word look at it, scan it, look it over. Reading tends to scare people a little bit. You know, here's this book. Would you mind looking it over? It's got some pretty pictures in it, a couple of great stories. And so I have kind of an approach for how to use it. And we've been promoting that now in our own company and in other companies for a little over a year. And it's going gangbusters. The people that are using it are the one interview that you listen to is a 25-year-old young man, lives in a little tiny town in Canada. The company that he builds in is an old company, 30-year-old company. Not on anybody's list of a high-flying, exciting opportunity, totally product-based company. And he's not recruiting young kids like himself, 25-year-olds. He's recruiting women that are in their 40s primarily. And since he's been using this book, his organization has gone from a few thousand to tens of thousands of people. Yes, 3,000 or 4,000 people a month join his business. And there's lots of success stories about like that, from little companies to billion-dollar companies, where distributors are using the book first, and then once people read the book, then you give them your company materials.
Well, the thing I like about the book is it's inexpensive, and so you can afford to get lots of them. And I just look at it as seed. If you want to have a bountiful harvest, you want to plant a lot of seeds. And
yep.
This is a very effective seed, and you've made it very affordable to do so. So I'm on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And I was just mentioning to you, I've got a friend right here in town. He's actually the very first person I recruited in the business.
Wow.
And a lot of times it's kind of fun to think about that, how much money did I make my first month when I got in the business? And I remember I got about a $1,000 check. But on the other hand, that's not entirely accurate, because I recruited him my first month and he's still in the business. And especially now, because he actually has kind of been asleep for several years, and he listened to that call that you and I did,
mm-hmm.
heard about that. He got a few books, read it, and he called me just a couple of days ago, just on fire. He sounded like a man 10 years younger that I used to hear. He's alive again, and he said, Dave, he says, I've put out 3 books today. And I like what you said on the call. What's that, a book a day?
Yeah, you know, what I encourage people to do, here's the system that has worked so well for people, is the first and foremost thing is that you have a book, at least a book, on your person at all times. And I can't overemphasize how important that is. Can't tell you how many times I've been in a situation where I thought about having a conversation with somebody, even just breaking the ice, just asking somebody their name, and maybe they'll end up being a possibility, but the book's in the car. And just because the book's in the car, I never had the conversation. But if you have the book on you, in your coat pocket, in your briefcase, stick it in your pants if you have to, if you have the book on you, you'll have 5 times more conversations than if you don't have the book on you.
If you test, it will actually fit, and if you have Levi's on, it'll fit in your back pocket.
It will, yeah.
And of course, if you're a lady who that's basically the backbone of American business anyway, is ladies. They have purses.
They always have a purse, so they have one.
another advantage.
Yeah. So here's what we teach people to do. Put your contact information on the inside cover of the business, the book. Your name, cell phone, email, Facebook, whatever you want, how people to get a hold of you. And then take a highlighter, a yellow highlighter, and highlight a couple of passages or examples or pages in the book. Just, you know, highlight them. And then maybe a particular story like Botanist, or, you know, just highlight that story in the back so that it's your book. Because you paid for it, it is your book. And hopefully you are reading it, because, you know, one of the ways you just become masterful in this business is to have so much knowledge and so much confidence about your business model that when people give you objections or when you're thinking about talking to people, you just feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And one of the ways you can do that is not just read the book, but own the material in the book. So I encourage people to just keep reading it, keep studying it, keep memorizing those quotes and those examples. Make the book that you're carrying with you in every moment your book. So if I'm talking to you, Dave, and the concept of prospecting that I like to teach people is called be curious and candid. Just be curious and candid. So if I'm curious and you and I, you know, maybe you're waiting my table, or maybe you're, you know, fixing my car, or it doesn't matter, we're sitting next to each other on an airplane or whatever. If I'm curious about you, what am I going to do?
Oh, ask questions.
Right.
I guess form is the famous thing. Family, occupation, recreation.
It is. But see, I've even moved away from telling distributors what to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found it doesn't matter. If you just trust intuition and trust being curious, if I'm curious about you, I'm going to ask something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I'll ask about where you live and, you know, are you coming or going, if we're traveling, or
That's easy, where you're coming or going,
Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because if I'm just curious, I'm going to ask you questions, you're going to answer the question. If I'm still curious after you answer the questions, because I'm supposed to be curious, what am I going to do after you answer the questions?
Ask some more questions.
Right. What questions am I going to ask?
Pretty much anything,
I guess. You don't know. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Just trust yourself. Just ask whatever comes to mind. Probably going to be a question based on what you just said. Right? So I'm going to be listening, and some other question is going to occur to me. So what I found is if you'll keep that up, and, you know, at some point people might, you'd be surprised how often they don't ask you any questions, but people might ask you questions. So the most important thing, in my opinion, when a prospect asks you a question, is to be candid. Just trust in the business model. Have enough faith and belief in the business model, in your products, and in your company to be candid. No cute stuff. Somebody asked me what I do. I don't tell them I'm an emergency retirement specialist, which is a line a good friend of mine loves to use just because he loves to mess with people. But I don't tell them that, because if I ask somebody what they do, I don't want to hear a rhyme. I don't want to hear a riddle. I don't want to hear a marketing slogan. I don't want to hear something that's going to cause me to have to ask another question. If I ask you what you do for a living, what do I want to know?
What is in it that I might be interested in?
I want to know what you do for a living.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't want to know a riddle.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage people, you know, if somebody asks you, is this network marketing? Well, you know, there's lots of ways to answer that if you've gone to a lot of trade. Are you looking for network marketing? Or, you know, well, you know, it's not really network. You know, there's lots of goofy ways to answer it. But is it network marketing?
Sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. Somebody asked me if it's network marketing. I said, yeah, it is. What do you think about that? And, you know, you'll at least find out what they think.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're peaceful and powerful and confident enough to just tell the truth. Somebody asks you, so, you know, are you making any money at it? You either are or you're not. If you're not, you could say, nope, not yet. I can't emphasize how much credibility and trust you build with people just by telling them the truth. And, you know, if you're not making money yet, you might also take responsibility for it. Like, you could say, no, I'm not actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing yet. But today I am, because I'm talking to you, so I must be on track to doing really well. So anywhere in that conversation, the prospect is going to what I like to call, they're going to serve themselves up to you on a silver platter. They're going to tell you stuff about their life they haven't told their brother, their best friend. They haven't told their family members because nobody else has been that curious about them. Nobody else has been that curious without having an agenda. And believe me when I tell you, this is about not having an agenda. If you want to be a fabulous recruiter, just be curious and candid. Don't be trying to recruit everybody, because not everybody's a good fit.
I think one of the fun things I've tried to do is look for somebody that I'd like to have as a friend.
Beautiful.
And invite them to lunch and have a personal commitment that I'm not going to talk to them anything about me, especially I'm not going to talk to them about my business.
Yeah.
And just to learn about them sometimes it's been very difficult. They just tell me what you're doing, but it's really fun to just really be interested in them and not, like you say, not always have an agenda. And if all the time that you're thinking of relationships, how can they benefit me? That's a very shallow way to live anyway, and it does come through.
Yeah, how can they help me qualify this month? How can I win the contest?
Yeah.
All of that stuff is just really messes with your mind and your energy, and it's all bad stuff.
Love people.
That's just it. Just be there for them. Be interested in them. They will find you interesting if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, somewhere in this process, people are going to turn over and they're going to reveal their underside to you. They're going to be vulnerable, and they're going to tell you what's going on in their life that they're out of control on, that they're fearful of, that they're frustrated with, or they're going to tell you something about their life that they're very passionate about that they don't get to do enough of. And when you hear that often enough and profound enough, you can, if you want to, if you choose to, you can pull the book out. And here's what you say to the prospect. You know, Dave, I'm reading this book on how to get financially independent without leaving my job or my career and do it in the next 4 or 5 years. Now, here's a key question I ask people, prospects. If that were true, Dave, would you want to read about it?
That's profound. Say that one more time.
Dave, I'm reading this book about how to get financially independent in 4 or 5 years, and I don't have to leave my job or my full-time career. If that were true, Dave, would you want to read about it?
Yeah.
Everybody I've asked that question to has said yes.
Now, here's another thing, Richard. I think this is really critical. You don't have to go get on a plane or go to the mall and look for prospects.
No.
The thing that's really powerful is wherever you are, including myself, who have been in the business a long time, this is a chance to start all over again and to bring all the people up to date at this moment. And so you can call a dear friend and say,
yeah,
I'm reading a book and it talks about how to become financially free, you know, to have a business in 4 years or 5 years. I'm thinking of you. If I gave this book to you, would you read it? Because I want you to know about this.
Yeah,
it'd work with somebody you know, perhaps even better.
Yeah, you can go back and talk to everybody you've ever talked to. I found it's really important though to ask that question. If that were true, what I'm telling you the book is about, would you want to read it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And then all you do is you give them the book, and the cool thing is now it is your book. It's got your name in it. It's highlighted. You give them the book, and all you say is, so, Dave, this will take you maybe 45 minutes or an hour to look through. You don't have to read the whole thing. Just scan it, look at the concepts, read some of the pretty pictures, whatever. When do you think you could do that? You know, tonight, tomorrow?
It's Friday. How about Tuesday or Wednesday?
Awesome. So can I get back with you Wednesday and get my book back and see if you had any questions?
Sure. Uh-huh.
So I just follow up. Now, when I call you back on Wednesday or, you know, maybe I email or text you or whatever, so I could ask you all kinds of fancy manipulative questions, but what I ask people is, what'd you think? Now, you could go to every sales training class in the world and they'd say, don't ever ask somebody what they think. But I actually want to know what you think. I want to know what you think about the book, about the concept. So I don't ask people what do you like best about it? And there's nothing wrong with that question. Mm-hmm. It's a fine question. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, it doesn't really matter what you ask somebody after they've read the book. Just ask them. So how do you feel about it? What do you think about it? What would you like best about it? Whatever. Now, here's what I found. About half the people that say they will have done it by Wednesday mm-hmm. have not done it. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a prospect that has a four-year career book now for a year, and he's probably promised to read it a half a dozen times, and he still hasn't read it. So, you know, the gestation period can be anywhere from 3 days to probably 3 years before somebody actually reads it. So what do you do with the people who haven't read it? You say, no problem, you know, when you got busy, so you didn't get it done by Wednesday, so when do you think you could get it done? Now, they feel a little more pressure this time, so they make a little tighter commitment.
They said they would do it, and you caught them.
Yeah, so now
they're going to call back again.
Yeah, I'll have it done tonight, or I'll have it done tomorrow. And you call them tonight or tomorrow, and they still haven't done it. You know what? But the cool thing is, those are all touch points. So every time you haven't read it, but you tell me by when you will read it, I get to call you back on the by when, and we get to have mm-hmm. a touch point. And so you get to experience how I am with you flaking out. You know, I don't beat you up. I just say, cool, I get it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by tomorrow, by the end of this weekend, you need a couple of weeks. What mm-hmm. do you need, Dave? Mm-hmm. You're going on vacation. You're not going to take it. Whatever. So every time I get to touch point. Mm-hmm. But the ones who have read it, the 50% who have read it, I can't think of anybody, and I hate absolutes, but I can't think of anybody in the last 3 years who read the book and said, I think this stinks. I think this book is just all a sales pitch. I think network marketing is a flaky business model. I can't remember one person who read it who did not say, wow, yeah, that was cool. I learned a lot. That's it's not what I thought it was. Or sounds interesting. Now, that doesn't mean they're all ready to go to the next step, but about half of them are. So the cool thing is our reputation as a profession is not crafted by the people who say yes, because most people say no. So we're outnumbered by the no's. Mm-hmm. What we really want for the next 30 or 40 years is people who look at our business model and say no, who think we're pretty cool.
Well, that's a thing that you probably have noticed if you've been in the business, is especially with the information age, you know, the internet and everything, there's so many people that think they know what we do. And of course, my feeling is if it was what they thought it was, I wouldn't be interested in it either.
But yeah, right.
On the other hand, I look inside myself and the life I've lived and what I'm doing, I just think, man, if anyone knew what I knew, yeah. Everybody would be in. Everybody would be using my product. All we need to do is get education. And that's what I love about your book, is it's very effective in educating to people what this really is. And
yeah.
At the very least, they'll know. And my feeling, after reading that book, my own thoughts, if I read this and didn't do it, I'd say, you know, I'm an idiot. Because
it's just not the right time for them.
Yeah,
they got other
uh-huh.
priorities, or they just can't focus. They can't pay attention,
or they just don't want to go talk to people.
True,
and that's the reality. This
right.
is going out, and I shared this with a person some time ago, and he says, "Oh, I would never want to be involved in anything where you have to go out and change people." And I just thought, wow, I would never want to be in something where I didn't have that opportunity to make a difference in people, like, because that's what life is
yeah.
Changing people,
growing.
Hopefully for the better.
Yeah.
And so, but everybody's different. And, yeah. and the reality is we don't want it to be too easy, because then it wouldn't pay anything.
Right. It has to be for an exclusive group of courageous
yeah.
people.
No, every time somebody says no to me, I think this is job security.
Exactly.
So
if everybody said yes, the company wouldn't need you and I.
Exactly. So we want it to be hard, but yeah. we just want it to be worth it.
So here's a simple business plan. If you pass out 7 to 10 books a week, mm-hmm. And follow-up is huge, the fortune is in the follow-up, you just have to stay with people, don't let people sit for 2 or 3 weeks because you forgot to call them, or you just got to stay with people and stay in touch with people. But if you'll pass out 7 to 10 books a week, you will find that over the next week or 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, got to kind of let the weeks build up, that about half the people will have read the book within, you know, 4 or 5 days or a week. About half of those will want to know, because the book doesn't tell them, will want to know, well, so what company are you doing this with? Or what product do you sell? Because that might not have been in the conversation at all up to this point. It might have been, but it might not have been. So the next step after people read the book is, do they want to see a presentation? So can I show you how this works in my company? That's the next question to ask them. So if you pass out 7 to 10 books a week and you get about half the people to read it within the week, and then you get about half of those people to want to look at the opportunity, you can be doing 2 or 3 presentations a week about your business, however you do it. Maybe you show them a video, maybe you draw the circles, maybe you show them the product, however you do it. And not the first week that you do 2 or 3 presentations, or the second week, or the third week, or the fourth week, but after you do that for about a month, maybe 6 weeks, you're going to be very skilled at doing presentations, and you're going to be enrolling 3 or 4 people a month personally. Now, here's what I know about our business, and I know you know. If you want to build an empire in network marketing, you need to personally get momentum going in your business. And you personally get momentum going in your business by sponsoring enough people, so you end up finding 2 or 3 leaders. And that means you got to sponsor 30, 40, 50 people to find 2 or 3 leaders. And you don't want to do that over a 4 or 5 year period. It's too slow. It's too boring. There's not enough energy. People aren't bouncing off of each other. I don't know anybody who's personally sponsored 40 or 50 people their first year that wasn't successful, unless they did it in, you know, a really goofy company or something. And maybe even have to carry on into the second year and sponsor 20 or 30 or 40 people in the second year, or maybe another 50. But if you're at a pace of personally sponsoring 2 or 3 people a month and you stay on that pace, you will be successful. I know you know that. You will create momentum. You will build a team that starts to grow away from you. Your business will explode such that you can't keep up with it if you're on that level of personal sponsoring, because this is all about duplication. This is all about, you know, we flip the numbers. It's not 100 people selling $10,000 worth of product. It's 10,000 people. So how do you get 10,000 people? You don't recruit them all. You got to get a team recruiting people. You got to get a system that's duplicatable. And part of the system is inspiration. Your people have to be inspired to go recruit people. The number one way I know you did know to inspire people is watch my smoke. Watch what I'm doing. That's the best way to inspire people.
Yeah, armchair quarterbacks don't work.
No, it doesn't work. If you stay on a personal pace of putting 2, 3, 4 people a month in the business, you will inspire your people to do the same thing. And if you use a simple system, like just carry a 4-year career book on you at all times, be curious about people, tell them the truth when they ask you a question, and when the opening appears, if you choose to, give them a book and follow up, follow up, follow up. Deadlock cinch. 2 years from now, you got a big business, big business. And, you know, then you can choose to, when you're making 5 or 10 grand a month, you can choose, is that enough or do I want to be a rock star? And everything in between. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
A book a day keeps you in the hay.
It does. Book a day keeps you in the hay.
Well, there's magic and power in the numbers. And just doing it again and again every day. There's just this magic accumulation of how just little things can just be astonishing how it adds up, especially just that most wonderful feeling. When all of a sudden you realize that you've created something that has a life of its own, that it's moving beyond your own effort that you're putting into it. It's just, you got to try it.
Yeah, it's something magical happens when people get the vision that they don't always have to be promoting their product or their company. If they can get the vision of being an ambassador for network marketing, an educator for network marketing, I find they drop into a place where they're more excited about doing that. They still get to talk about their product or their company if that is the obvious conversation, and they still get to talk about it after people get open to network marketing. But, you know, I think we've spent a lot of time and energy telling people about our products and our opportunity, and they like our products. They, you know, how many people do you know that don't want better health? Everybody wants better health. Everybody wants more wealth. So how come they're not getting in our business?
I think fear and belief and just getting our own way. And yeah. I think that's the thing that is so powerful, because I've seen people that are frozen. They read the book, and all of a sudden they think, wow, I could do this.
Yeah,
I could buy a few books, and this is, let me think, okay, how do I do this? I say, I'm reading a book. I think you'd be interested. You know, that's just, say that one more time. That
I'm reading this book about how to get financially independent in 4 or 5 years, and you don't have to quit your job, or I don't have to quit my job, or leave my full-time career. I don't have to. That's what the book's about. I'm reading a book that's teaching me how to get financially independent in 4 or 5 years, and I wouldn't have to leave my job or my career. And Adam, Dave, from, you know, listening to what you said, because I've been curious and you've been talking, if that were true, would you want to look at the book?
Sounds interesting.
Everybody says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a book, follow up, pick it up a week later, ask them what they think. Half of them, show them your business, show them your product, show them your plan.
And if you're new and you haven't shown the product in the business, do what we call ABCs.
Yeah.
And three-way phone calls.
Yeah.
You don't have to be alone in this business. Always have somebody with you and learn all along. Be plugged in with people that are already where you want to be, that are in the game right yeah. now doing it, and you'll come along. So, wow.
Where else can somebody get into a business opportunity, invest maybe 500 or 1,000 bucks, 5 to 10 hours a week, and be mentored and partnered with millionaires and multimillionaires who want nothing more than to teach you how to become a millionaire and a multimillionaire in their business? Where else can you do that?
And partnered with these people that are successful, and the training is ongoing,
yeah.
and no charge.
Right.
Just a phone call away. Imagine
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's too good to be true, which might be why some people miss it. But as you and I know,
it's true and it's good.
For us, it has been. We've mm-hmm. lived storied lives so far because of network marketing. And just like you said, if people knew what we knew, they would at least, at the very least, they would enthusiastically look.
Well, the best way to, they say, predict the future is create it yourself. And mm-hmm. and we can do that with this. This is yeah. the tool. So,
well, thank you, Dave.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, brother.